Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than misplaced keys. Our number to call if you are listening live on Tuesday night is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. Of course, you can join the chat room of the Den Pen by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you are listening on one of our affiliates on the internet, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, then click chat and go. As always, I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Miss Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Pip. Joe will be here soon.
Yeah.
Joe said he was going to be running a little late today, but he would be driving like Vin Diesel.
I know.
And I advised him, that's fine, just don't drive like Paul Walker.
Oh. Yes, please don't do that.
Yes, so we don't want a dead Joe, although sometimes. But
no, we stop that now.
Okay, fine. We want Joe alive. And
yes, we do.
Noisy and annoying, but alive.
Not noisy and annoying.
Oh, he's noisy and annoying.
Okay. All right, I'm not going to argue with you about it.
Yes, because then you'll be noisy and annoying.
Well, yeah, you new here?
You can't drive like Vin Diesel in that car.
No, you know what? That my car has a nice amount of pickup.
Does it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's perky.
Okay. All right, you say so.
Yes.
I think it's overcompensating for something, but okay.
It might be.
On the show tonight, an interview with Joyce Razor of the National Military Family Association, which is the charity I've been donating to since 2009.
Braggart.
What?
Braggart.
It's not a bragging thing.
Humble brag.
I give the most money.
Humble brag.
My donations are huge.
Well, yes. Yes, they are.
So she's going to explain what the charity does. Disney is considering introducing a gay character. We'll discuss the wisdom of that. Ellen DeGeneres is getting sued. A little comics in the news. We'll touch on that. Some more things today's kids can't do in School of Fools. Do we want to do School of Fools or do we want to do things kids can't do? What do you want to do?
I want to do things kids can't do.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's a running thing we got.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so School of Fools will have to wait another time. We have a School of Fools in the hopper. But you shan't be getting it tonight. Things kids can't do anymore, and things Ann Jackson continues to do.
Yes. Oh, yes. Boy, doesn't she.
Yes. So, Pip, I just came back to the East Coast last afternoon.
Yesterday. I know. Yeah. You had a whirlwind kind of comedy tour.
That was the phrase I was going to use, whirlwind. A lot of things. It's always good for this show. When I leave.
Oh, Joe so wishes he was here to comment on that.
But he's not, which is why I left it out there.
I know.
Because somewhere in his car, he goes, God damn it.
I know, coward. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to blink back at you as much as he would.
Well, if he was here, there'd be plenty of opportunities.
I feel an obligation to attack you on that just for Joe.
Joe is always welcome to call in.
Yes.
If he beats the callers, 845-986-8804. Joe is always welcome to call in when he's not here.
Oh, you know, nice. When it's rainy out and everything, he's trying.
I say that when it's dry out.
I know. When he's trying to kill himself to get here, you don't want him.
I always say Joe is part of the show and he's welcome to call in whenever he wants.
Yes.
He chooses not to. He enjoys listening.
For safety reasons.
No, I've driven with Joe. Please. The man is driving like Dale Earnhardt snapping pictures with his phone. I mean, let's not get crazy. I notice I didn't say Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yes. Yeah. Clever.
Yes.
Oh.
That joke hit the wall?
Yeah. You're doing a lot of crash jokes. My friend just crashed her car last night, as a matter of fact.
She okay?
Yeah. Well, she broke her wrist, her Ooh. Ankle, and her finger. And
what about the guy? How's his penis? Because I assume it was in his lap.
You know. No, somebody blew through a stop sign.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and she crashed into them and then went down an embankment.
Oh, my.
I know. It was really bad.
Well, I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, I am, too. I was like, how's your I called her in the ER. I'm like, how's your head? And she's like, that's okay. But
she'll have a nice lawsuit.
I'm sure she will.
I only hope that she gets a judge that's sympathetic and is the exact demographic she is.
Well, you know what? She happens to be an African-American.
I hope she gets an African-American judge who has been injured in a car accident in the past.
Because the white man cannot be impartial.
No.
No.
I hope she gets somebody who's extremely sympathetic to her cause.
Although I do not know the ethnic makeup of the other driver, so this will be interesting.
Well, whatever favors your friend the most. I hope her attorneys lobby for that. Because we're used to picking juries, but some would have us pick judges.
Yes, they would.
So if that shall be the new trend, since it's a friend of yours, it's a friend of mine, I am hoping for the best for her. And well, she gets the judge for choosing.
Well, Lisa suggests a Mexican one, perhaps.
They got their hands full. They shan't be adjudicating any longer in this country.
No.
There are rules.
I'm very grateful that my friend is okay.
Yes.
Relatively speaking.
Well, if she's smart, she's listening to the show and healing.
You know what? Laughter is the best medicine.
It most certainly is. So I was in New Mexico and Colorado.
Yeah.
These are known as flyover states.
You know, that's such an unfair characterization, isn't it?
Well, I don't consider them flyover states. I consider them my career.
Yeah, I know. It's like. Well, I had maybe everybody else flies over, but I'm stopping in.
Well, you know, as I told the audiences, and I'll say here, we have 3 affiliates in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So don't ask me what stations, because I'm not paying that close attention.
But you're out there, worship you.
Yes, but I have it down, and so these are our people.
Yes.
Have you been in that region of the country?
Yes. I've been to Arizona and a couple of times. And
a little different.
Yeah.
A little different.
Tell me how. I mean, I don't think... We both grew up in New Jersey and now live in New York. So I'm not one of these people who say, yeah, the states are right next to each other. They're exactly the same. Nope.
Well, I mean, Joe and I were whizzing through Arizona, so it's not like we really got to sightsee.
Right.
But I remember it a little flatter. The difference between, and Colorado is completely different. I'm talking about between Arizona and New Mexico.
Right.
The difference between Arizona and New Mexico is Joe did not get a ticket in New Mexico.
I see.
Yes. Yeah. That picture, of course, is on the davinsden.com website and our pictures under extras, I believe, if you want to see Joe whizzing in the middle of the night.
Came out completely wrong.
No, well, that might have been a separate tape. Speeding through the night to get us to the airport.
Thank you.
Speeding through Joe Curry in mid-speed. No, so how are they different? New Mexico has more mountains. Very mountainy. The mountains are red and white, pink and brown.
Mm.
It's just beautiful.
The desert is really gorgeous.
Yes.
All those different strata of coloration.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So I took some pictures. I've posted some on my Facebook page. Then, of course, Colorado, a little bit more lush. Green.
Oh, okay.
Green.
Yeah, I was.
And then, of course, there's the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
Which I'll be discussing later on in the show.
I bet it was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'll discuss that later on, though. It's not my first time going through the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
The last time I went through the Rocky Mountains, I was up in Canada.
Oh.
Driving on the Alaskan Highway.
You forget that it goes farther north than our border.
Going, up to about 4 hours south of Alaska.
Mm.
So we're on it for a while. Driving in a blizzard. No snow tires on the car.
Oh, God.
There was nobody around.
Oh.
Trying to get to a gig in a blinding snowstorm. Big rigs are the only ones on the road.
Oh.
And they are passing us because they have chains.
Of course. And they're blowing. Blow back from when they're passing you.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And at one point on that trip, my opening act goes to me because he was driving. It was his car. Goes to me. Goes, I'm going to pull over here because if we flip and get my coat. Because if we flip over, I won't be able to reach it.
Wow. That's really building a whole lot of confidence.
No, he was scared shitless.
Yeah, of course he was.
I don't blame him. I mean,
and he wanted something nice and puffy to land on should you flip over.
Yes.
He wanted insulation.
He didn't want to die frozen upside down.
Yeah.
So that was the last time.
Oh.
And that was in a driving snow, huge blizzard for like days.
Oh,
and it was a nighttime part of it.
But you're driving through this to get to a gig. Is anyone going to go to the gig in this?
Well, yeah, because they're there and it's Canada.
Yeah,
they don't have to drive miles up. We started in Edmonton and then went points north. So that was the last time I was in the Rockies. I'll tell you about this time in the Rockies. A little different.
That's scary. Okay.
Yeah. Rockies are scary. But I'll do that in the second segment of the show.
Okay.
The Talk Radio Network segment of the show. Very nice people.
I'm sure. I'm glad for you.
Yeah. Well, here's what's nice. If you frequent my social media, there's a lot of hate there. Not generally for me.
No, it's from everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of anger, a lot of hate. Yeah. And, you know, very often my day is spent on there at some point or another dealing with that.
Yeah, I noticed
that. And you kind of think that's the reality of the world.
True.
So to, and I have not done an extensive road trip in quite some time. Past couple years, my big road trips have been, I've gone to Atlantis for 2 weeks at a time. But that's an air, that's a plane, and then I'm on an island with some locals, but mostly tourists.
Right.
And it's not America. It's a different country, obviously.
Right.
So I haven't done these, you know, as I tried to build up this radio show, I kind of sacrificed my comedy tour, my comedy career. I have started to boost that up.
Right.
And there'll be more tours like this. But this is my first time in this region of the country. So it was nice to meet these people. Very nice people. Met a lot of Native American Indians.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was nice. I even did something that reminded me of you, Pip.
Really?
So we were driving on a reservation. Because the reservation's all over the place.
Yes.
It's not just like a block of land like you think it is and you don't drive through it.
They're huge.
Huge portions of the state.
Right.
And we drove past and I stopped at a flea market. On a resume.
Yeah. Oh, yay.
Yes. So I'm like, well, I want to do this.
Wow.
So a little thing here. A lot of them were selling cassettes for a dollar. A little optimistic.
Cassettes for a dollar.
A little optimistic. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about it on this show how I still listen to my cassettes. I like the cassettes.
I do, too.
But I see a dollar price tag. Nah, you're scaring me away.
Not as interested. Well, that's like I stopped... I had to go to the hospital for a test, but nothing holds me down because as soon as I was out of there, I still had the bracelet on my hand, and I saw
the IV attached.
And I saw
just dragging behind
sale.
You.
Yeah, I was just like, so I'm in there, hospital gown, IV. Funny. I got to go garage sailing.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. You got to be true to yourself.
But the minute I walked in there, there's this little kid sitting at the tiniest little desk in this tiny little chair, and he's got a box of Dunkin' Munchkins. And he's like, you want two Dunkin' Munchkins for a dollar?
That's a ripoff right there.
Totally. It totally was. But I have a rule. If any little kid is trying to sell me like donuts or lemonade or whatever, I have to buy it.
I don't think that's the kid thing. I think that's a food thing.
No, actually, I wasn't even hungry, but I bought the damn Munchkins.
You brought them home for Mr. Helix.
But no, I ate them.
Oh. Okay.
But and then I'm like looking for paper or napkin in my purse because now I've got like jelly donut goo all over my hands and I'm going to go looking through their stuff.
And usually those napkins are for other types of goo.
Yeah, yes, they are. Yes. As the audience doesn't know, but I'm constantly blowing my nose while we're doing the show.
Not what I was going for, but yeah.
Yes, I have allergy problems, folks. Deal with it. But so a little kid asks you to buy something, you buy it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hire a little kid to sell solar paneling for me. Yeah. Because you can't refuse a little kid.
I want solar paneling.
I'll send them to your house.
Send me Junior.
So they had interest. So I wanted to expand, and I got to talk with some of the Navajos, which was this particular tribe.
That's awesome.
And they had interesting things. You could get mutton, which I did not, but I've never seen mutton. At a flea market, some of them were cooking.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I wouldn't have guessed
I could
that.
Have gotten a pork chop sandwich for $5.
That's not bad.
I wouldn't know. Never had a pork chop, but I assume, again, not what you're expecting to see.
I'm sorry, what? You've never had a pork chop?
No, of course not. I don't eat pork. You know this. This is not news.
No, I didn't know that.
Don't eat pork, don't eat shellfish. It's the last vestiges of my religion.
That's why I'm looking at you like you have another head. I mean, I know that that's part of your religion, but you don't really follow. So I was like,
no,
what?
I just grew up that way and I just never ate it.
I didn't know that.
Intentionally, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. I don't know if that's interesting, but it's fun.
Pulled pork, you're missing out.
I get it. I think I would like regular bacon. I eat turkey bacon.
Oh, yes.
I like turkey bacon.
You would... I'm flabbergasted that I didn't know this about you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't feed you very often, apparently.
I like... I've just discovered chicken sausage, which I enjoy.
Oh,
I've never had sausage.
Wow.
Never had ham. Now, that does not appeal to me.
See, now, my husband would have nothing to eat. Because most of what he eats is meat in casings.
Oh, okay.
And all of it off of your diet, apparently.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. We won't dine together.
Lisa's saying back ribs, yummy. I know, right? He has no idea what he's missing.
Yeah, I believe ribs would be good, too. I believe they would. But I eat beef ribs. Anywho. point.
No, sorry.
What I did get was, because I thought this was authentic native food, fry bread for a dollar.
What is fry bread?
Essentially funnel cake, but different. But, like, it doesn't look the same, but it's essentially, like, you know, fried
dough.
Pastry. Yeah, dough. Yeah. And you could put powdered sugar on it or honey or this, that.
That sounds delicious.
It was. For a buck, I had it. Very greasy, but very yummy.
Yeah.
So that was my experience there. I walked around, so I didn't, because, you know, I also had to think, well, if I buy some crap, I got to get it home. And I only had a carry-on in my computer bag.
Yeah.
So I didn't, but I was like, well, this is a pip move.
Thank you. I feel honored.
Yes.
That you flea market shopped in my honor.
You're always with me. And as you'll find,
I'm so sorry.
As you'll find out as I proceed to tell about my experiences, there were points where Joe was with me as well.
Oh.
Yes.
I can't wait. Do you go on?
I will go on. That's what I was kind of hoping Joe would be here for it, but if he wants to call in, he's welcome to. If not, he can just listen.
Okay.
So the first show, as you'll recall, I was leaving after our radio show on Tuesday night.
Right. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
At least we thought you were.
Yes. So, well, no, I did leave.
Yes.
I left. I woke up here at, 3:30 a.m.?
God o'clock.
Yeah, got down to my folks at 4:30, where I proceed to argue with my mom about Bernie Sanders.
That's what you wanted. 3:30 in the morning or whatever.
You know. he's an anti-Semite. No, he's not.
What?
Oh, no, that was, no, excuse me, that was Obama has no backbone.
Oh, dear God.
And it's like, I have to think of Israel. We have family in Israel. I'm like, we got family here, too. I think whatever president is going to look after both countries. Yeah. I don't think it's up for grabs.
No, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah. So we're doing that. So I get to the flight, whatever. So my day consists of, waking up at God o'clock, flying 5-6 hours, whatever the heck it was. Because remember, my flight got canceled.
Yes. So, oh, I remember.
So I had that outburst.
You were on fire. Nobody could forget.
It works for the show.
Yeah.
I assure you, when nobody's around, I do not curse and carry on quite as colorfully. I'm sure I am pissed.
Yeah.
But there's not a microphone. Like, I can just stew in my own head.
Yeah, it usually doesn't drive you to Trump.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. It drove me to Trump. But Donald has a way of making that decision go away right quick. Yeah. So I fly across the country, and then I got to drive, three and a half hours.
It's just like planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah. Most comics do not do shows the way I do, as far as like doing all that travel and with no sleep and still going on stage.
I know, that's crazy.
It really is. It's not ideal. It's not ideal.
No, but I mean, then you're sort of tired and overtired and grumpy, and that kind of like adds fuel to your fire, doesn't it?
Yeah, when there's something left in the tank. But I've had shows where, like, I know I need to bring it up to another level, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, where I've driven 13 hours, been stuck in traffic, and it's like, ugh.
Ugh.
But, I do what I gotta do. Now, here was the obstacle I had on this first show, which was at the Casino Mountain of the Gods. Beautiful place.
Sounds nice.
Beautiful place.
Or a lot of hype
another,
for
another
nothing.
Thing that annoyed me is my itinerary says I have to get there by 3 o'clock, so I get there by 3 o'clock, and the room is not ready. That annoys me. I thought that would be the big thing I would rant about on the radio show.
Right.
Fortunately, though, no.
More to come.
Yeah.
But it is very annoying.
Yes.
But 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't get this done?
And and they're like, well, we're just getting your room ready. I'm like, well, there's other rooms I could stay in, I guess. And it was a lovely room. It was a lovely place, a lovely room. I was just so tired. It's like, really, I just want to crash.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do a show in a few hours. I got to show at like 7 or 7:30.
It's not like, oh, it would be nice to go in. No, I've got to lay down.
But that was not the option. So I got in around 3:30, 3:45. We had to do a sound check at 5. So it's like, I can't even just chill.
No.
So I met the other comic. First time I worked with a Native American comic. Liked him a lot. William Spotted Bear, a veteran.
Wow.
A military veteran, part Jewish, part Native American.
Wow.
In the military. He does
that's a colorful mix.
He has fostered kids.
Nice.
Does a charity work. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah,
big,
sounds like a good guy.
Very good guy. And he was actually impressed with some of the stuff we do.
Nice.
He's like, I guess a lot of comics are douchebags. I don't know. Because the other feature who I work with, Tom Myers, liked working with me as well. And I'm thinking, Joe doesn't realize how good he has at working with me. Because apparently it could be a lot worse.
Never mind.
Because I remember coming up. I mean, it's always new. You get thrown together a lot of times. Like, very often now, I can bring my opener, but not all the time.
Right.
I had initially offered part of this tour to Joe, and he couldn't do it. We've talked about that. So you know, you always get thrown together. You never know what it's going to be.
Right.
You always hope for a good guy. Most of the times, when I was coming up and I was featuring, it was a good guy. Liked him. Only like a couple times where there are issues, and I've talked about that on the show, where I'm like, oh, you're going to be a bitch. I am going to fuck up your show. And I did. Because even back then, I had that ability.
Right.
But, you know, but no, you're thrown together. You're traveling and getting along. Like this William Spotted Bear a lot. We talked about comedy. We talked about all sorts of things. Helped him writing some ideas. It was funny. In the military, because the military is so crass. You know, they give each other nicknames.
Yes.
So he was known as Thrifty Bear because he's part Jewish.
Oh, jeez, that's really funny.
That's part of his act, and then he came up. Thrifty These are his Bear. Jokes. These are not mine, so I hope you see William Spotted Bear wherever he is and enjoy it. And he came up with, like, Chief Dances with Chairs.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah, I'm like, that needs to be in the act. So,
yes.
You know, I helped him workshop some things, but it was good working with him. But anyway, so we're doing the first show, and apparently the altitude of this show, mm-hmm. of the casino which we're at, is 2,000 miles above where we are here.
Oh, God.
Yes, I did not know this coming in. He told me, yeah, people should come in a day early to adjust.
Well, thanks now.
That's not his fault.
I know, but I mean, like, great.
Yeah, nobody told me that. So I'm doing, like, so I have the buffet, because it's included. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's nice.
And now I'm having trouble breathing. And I'm thinking, God damn, did I fill myself up with so much where my lungs are crushed? Because I don't think I ate that much food.
Oh, right. You're not even thinking about that it's just that you can't breathe.
I didn't know until I said, I'm having trouble breathing. And I'm thinking, am I having a heart attack?
Oh, God, how scary.
But no, it's just I have not adapted
right.
to the air.
Right.
So now I am doing this show. And I'm having trouble breathing.
That, you know, that's really hard because when you're getting excited about what you're talking about and you're kind of walking around and gesturing and stuff. I mean, I did community theater and there was this one thing in this one play where I was playing a nun, mm-hmm. and I was supposed to do tricks with my habit, mm-hmm. and like twirl it up and like make different hats out of it and things, mm-hmm. and I'm doing impressions with it. And I would get all worked up, and I'm like huffing and puffing, and like.
Well, you're a heavy breather anyway.
I am a heavy breather.
Because remember, we've tried to record some things.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, you sound like a perv, but that's just you breathing.
That's just me. And so, like, I got winded because I was getting all excited about it, and I was praying to God that the things I was doing were working, mm-hmm. because I didn't get another shot at them, and they were difficult to keep there. So I was. When you said that you were having trouble because of the high altitude, I was like, oh, God, I would have passed out.
Yeah, like, I would actually have to pause.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, I mean, obviously, I always pause. You pause to take a breath, whatever it is. But, like, I was feeling it. And before he told me this, I'm thinking, God damn, I'm a fat fuck. This has gotten out of control. I didn't realize. I can't breathe to do my stupid show. I can't even walk. Give me the scooter. I am now a fatso at Walmart. I need to cruise. Excuse me. Can you reach that on the top shelf? My lungs can't handle it.
My lungs are exploding.
I have filled myself with so much unhealthy food that my body is now attacking itself, and I will no longer be able to walk or do my show. Can I have a ramp onto the stage?
And can you pass me another ring ding?
Yes. This is what's like, what the fuck? I'm going to have a heart attack. What is going on?
Where's my inhaler?
Yes.
I know.
Thank God it was explained to me. Because I was really concerned.
Yeah.
So it was a good show. It was a struggle. I'm exhausted, and I'm having trouble breathing. It was a good show. I really need the audience to be on point. They weren't exactly on point, so I had to work a little bit more.
Wait a minute. You needed the audience to be on point?
Yes.
Like, they have jobs to do.
They most certainly do. I can't believe you don't understand this by now.
Please explain.
I like a hot audience.
Okay.
Where they're where they're ready to go.
Sure.
Where they're smart. Where they're with it.
Wait, whoa. Now you're asking for too much. Now
I'm not.
No, you're expecting a lot from the audience.
I don't expect a lot from our society anymore.
You expected smart, and if you take a crosscut of our society, that's not there.
But you know that's one of the compliments I get a lot now, that I'm smart.
Yes.
Which is nice. It's one of my favorite compliments, actually.
No, it is very nice. And it is great when I can tell that the audience gets you.
Yes!
It's like, oh, thank
I don't
God.
Have to beat them verbally, which I will.
Yes, I've seen that too.
But no, they were good. They were good. I don't want to give the wrong impression. They were good. I just like when I'm traveling across the country like that, there are some nights where the audience is just so magical.
Yeah.
They carry you through it.
Right.
Like it's almost, you're not working that hard. They were not that. They were fun. They were good. I enjoyed them.
That was subtle. They were not that.
No, they weren't.
But you know what? It that doesn't happen all the time.
No. It does. It doesn't happen a lot of times.
No.
But it was a good show. The people who put together, who were there, liked it. It was a good show. Everything was happy. So that's the first show. Second show, I am doing this Albuquerque. Well, part of the... We were led to believe that was going to be most of the audience, but just a part of the audience. An Albuquerque gay pride event.
That's interesting for you.
Well, it is and it isn't. Because, you know, being in this region where we live in, I perform in front of homosexuals all the time.
Of course you do.
You know, and yeah, where you can tell. Where,
right, where, right.
I mean, I'm sure all over the place.
Well, of course there are, but there are people that feel free to be out here.
Yes, yeah. You know, they can be themselves.
Right.
Which, you know, is not every place in the country.
Unfortunately, no.
No. So, you know, being in this area, I don't really worry when I have a show with gay people in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know what I'm doing and everything. But this, there was a big event. So I was actually not headlining this event. I was moved down to feature.
Okay.
Which hurt the pocketbook a little bit. And my feature, William, was moved down to host.
Okay.
So they brought in a gay cabaret performer to close. And it goes by Jade.
Okay.
This is the first time I ever shared the green room with a man putting on lashes and lipstick.
It is different.
Yeah, but you know me, I'll just play it off because it's like, yeah. In my mind, I'm not even like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay, this is tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much how I am now with comedy and a lot of things.
Yeah, this is tonight.
This is tonight.
I've helped you at your shows,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen some comedians that not necessarily prop, but dress up for the occasion,
mm-hmm.
and that seeing some of that going on, I was like. Like you. Okay, this is tonight.
Looking good is different than a man putting on long lashes, mm-hmm. and lipstick. You know, it's just not my normal experience on my show. I work with gay comics. I hire gay comics.
But
it's not cabaret gay.
Yeah, you've never worked with men in drag before.
He wasn't in, I don't know if he was in drag. I mean, he had the bow. I wouldn't call it drag. It was kind of like a cross thing.
Sort of.
Well, Elton Johnny.
Okay.
Like you could still say Elton John's a man, but there's certain things a man wouldn't wear.
Now, I'm trying to think that there's the English comedian who dresses...
Eddie Izzard?
Thank you. Like Eddie Izzard style.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
And he sings and everything. And this guy sings. So he goes to goes to me and William that... Oh, so he tells myself and William to do our regular material because gay people like regular material.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, it's almost like gay people are real people. That is what I said to him.
That's so great. Wow. It's like, you know him from New York, right?
And he lives in New York, too. I mean, he's from San Antonio, but he lives in New York. But I think that was the right answer.
Yes, it was the right answer. It's almost like they're real people.
It's like, what was I going to switch it? Was I going to gay it up? Who here's banging a man?
you know what? Go
out. Who here jerks off to Johnny Depp? I mean,
yeah. Well, you like the slappings, do you?
So I'm antiquing. I mean, my act is my act.
I'm antiquing.
The it's act like, is the act.
You're not going to come out and be Rip Taylor all of a sudden,
no, exactly.
Or whatever.
I'm not going to shoot confetti out of my ass. The show's the show.
That might be great.
Well, then I probably would have closed the show.
Yeah, no, that was the right answer.
But there's a lot of regular audience in there, too. And it's weird because the Pride rented out, Albuquerque Gay Pride rented out the top part of it. And it's really high up. It's not like the traditional balcony. Like, you can't even see them. That's how high up
they are. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really weird. And, like, the regular people.
I know. I was going to comment on that, but I know what you meant.
The people who come for the normal show, whether they're gay or straight, they're down on the main level.
Just like a normal comedy audience, not necessarily there for Pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I really enjoyed them. I'm closing up, and I got offered a piece of birthday cake from a lady having her birthday.
That's cute.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but thank you. I'm okay. And so they gave me sold a lot of stuff, which is good. I did well with merch on this, which is always important.
Wow.
So they gave all the comics in Albuquerque. Fest, Gay 40 Years, whatever the hell it was, Gay Pride t-shirt.
Cute.
Yes. Cute t-shirt. So I actually wore it.
Yeah.
I wore it the next day.
Right.
I'm leaving my elevator. Big, burly, hairy man, long beard, looks like a biker. So I like the shirt. Okay.
Did he like you as well?
I don't know. I didn't stick around. I had to go to the car. It was time to leave. It was just the way it was. I wasn't looking for a conversation.
He was looking for a baby bear.
So I tell, I tell this to my wife. She's like, oh, yeah, bears would love you.
Yes.
What do you mean? What is this? Yeah. Why is that the answer? Not even a damn hesitation. You're like, yes.
Your wife and I both know the gays.
But why is it? First of all, why can't I be a pretty gay? Why do I got to be a bear gay?
Well, because you don't look like a little boy. You're not really skinny, so you're not a twink.
Settle down, Belinda.
No. I'm just saying. No, I wasn't trying to say you're not like a toothpick.
Right.
Like that looks like, you know, a teenager. You look like a man, but you're not like
a man.
But you're not like a huge, tall, burly guy. So, and you also have facial hair. So you, and like you have a rounder face. So you are like a bear, but you're like a smaller one.
I'm a cub.
You're kind of like a cub. So you are like a cuddly bear. I'm sorry, but that's how you got to break it down.
Do you remember the dine?
Lisa says you are a cuddly bear toy. I didn't even finish talking, and she was already on there. And Joe's girl says Joe is more of a bear. Yes, he is.
Joe's a rabid grizzly bear.
Joe's a bear.
You're not cuddling with Joe. He's going to bite off your hand, especially if you wake him up.
You notice I keep my hands way over here, yeah. Just in case he's looking for a snack. I don't know.
Do you remember on Route 4 in Paramus, there was the diner, the Forum Diner? It's closed long many years ago. So back with me and my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, or dating. Right. We go there late at night, probably out doing something, whatever. We walk in, and there was like a whole lot of gay people there.
Oh, okay.
Gay men there.
Yeah.
And I walk by, and they all start checking out my ass, and my wife loved that.
Listen, I'm not surprised.
I wasn't as burly then. I mean, I had the goatee. I was thinner.
Dude, you're not bad to look at.
I exude gayness.
I don't want your head to explode. No. It's not necessarily that. See, the thing is that gay guys aren't necessarily looking for somebody who's like what heterosexual men look at as flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not necessarily what all gay men are looking for. Some of them like straight acting guys or like not flamboyant guys. They want a more masculine feel and look, but you know, hey, you got a nice butt. They're excited. There's nothing you can do about that.
Well, thank God that place closed, so I shan't be experiencing that. It is what it is. You know.
I used to dress a little bit more tomboy in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, my God, I was a lesbian treat, apparently, because I got hit on a lot.
A lesbian treat. An old fish toy, if you will.
Apparently, I worked for this one company that was pretty pretty liberal, and mm-hmm. they had, like, I would say that half of the people that worked there were gay and half the people were straight, and the lesbians really liked me.
There you go.
So, you know what, I did take offense.
It's
I was
better
like,
than being
I
repulsed.
Got it. Yeah, I was like, I mean, yeah. Hey, I got it.
Well, I don't know if this guy liked me. He just liked the shirt. Anyway, I brought the shirt home, and
he only mentioned the shirt.
My wife's like, oh, I want to see that gay pride shirt you have. I'm like, okay. It's like, ooh, I like it. Like, you want it? She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, is it going to be like my shirts like that I sell that you have and never get worn?
Or is it going to be like you're really going
to
wear it?
If you're not going to wear it, then no. It's like, no, I'm going to wear it. I'm like, son of a bitch. The gays are kicking my eye cell shit, and she don't want to wear it when I give it to her. But the gays come up with a pride shirt, and she's all over it. And I could not have said that any more gay as my wrists are flailing about.
I was going to say, you said that very flamboyant.
I most certainly did.
You're in touch with your femme side. That's nothing wrong with that.
I'm diddling it right now.
I noticed. I did want to tell the audience.
Actually, I'm offering it to Cosby Collada as we speak. My feminine side will be sleeping shortly.
Was that an herbal supplement you just put in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer have that shirt, which was my lone souvenir, besides all the pictures, which is fine.
Oh, that's too bad. But you know what?
I bought her a souvenir.
You can enjoy it on her.
I'm not going to. It's a fucking shirt.
No, I'm... Dude, I'm trying to up your hetero cred here. You can enjoy it on the body of your wife.
I was a little... I was like, well, should I wear this? Should I not wear it? You know, I don't want to give off the... I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It's a shirt. I'll support it.
And it's like... But you know what? I've come to the conclusion that it's just like people... I've heard celebrities say when people are wondering about their sexuality and their sexual preference and everything, and it's like when they've been told where everybody's out there saying, oh, I bet they're gay, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, you know what? I'm not even going to dignify that because if I come back and go, oh, I'm not gay, I'm certainly not gay.
There's no right answer.
It's like saying... I find that there's something wrong with that.
It's once they start shoving cocks in your mouth and your ass that you got to stick up for yourself going, you know what? I really don't like this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hopefully before it's all the way in.
Well.
What's the...
I want to be pleasant. I mean, I don't want to, like, insult.
What's this looking at you with that one eye? Yeah, it's time for you to speak up, son.
You know, I think we might have had a misunderstanding.
Nope. I don't think so.
Come here, you cup.
Oh, Yogi.
So I don't have that.
Hey, boo-boo.
So now here's where things start to get interesting with the shows.
Now they're getting interesting? Okay.
Yes. So our third show, I have now left William Spotted Bear. He's no longer on that portion of the tour. Okay. I am now with Tom Myers, who's out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, I saw you guys posting pictures
of
each
other.
Yeah, Tom
posts a lot of that stuff. He's a big left-wing guy, so we like that.
Okay.
He actually works for the Democratic Party.
Oh, wow, interesting.
Yeah. He wants to be governor one day, a fringe candidate, though. So we are certainly going to try. I'd like to know somebody in power.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
So
everybody else does.
So I'm working with Tom Myles, but so I'm working at the third place, the Sunray Casino and Racehorse thing. Whatever.
You're looking at me like I'm going to say yes or no.
That's my profile picture. Anyway,
oh, okay.
The people could not have been nicer.
Oh, great.
Lovely people. I'm talking about the people that work there.
Yeah.
Lovely people. I got to find where I had a poster. Anyway. So a couple of things of note. You could not bring a cup of soda from one portion of the casino into another portion of the casino. The security stopped you. ISIS has an easier time than we did trying to bring soda in. ISIS can get through, but...
You can't get soda across a casino.
No.
I.
And it's still their soda.
Wait. Well, let's try to just reason this out. Do they think that you're smuggling your own booze in it?
No, because I said, well, I just got it from the comedy showroom, and I just want to go find the candy girl.
Yeah.
There was a girl selling candy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, she, while I'm selling the merch, she was like kind of barking for me.
Okay.
Which I didn't ask her to do.
But that's great.
That was very nice of her, so I wanted to give her a tip.
Yeah.
You know.
Nice.
Because sales were good. And Tom, Tom doesn't think anybody ever tipped her for that. She said, I do it all the time. I go... I don't know, but I think I should tip her.
See, you're a good guy.
I'm not that good. I don't tip the maids.
What?
We've established this. Oh. We've established this. I'm an excellent tipper to servers. I don't tip the maids. I'm tipping the candy girl, who also sold cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they smoke in the casino?
I think they can.
I'm not sure.
Huh. I'm not sure.
Interesting. Okay.
So you can't bring soda from one place to the other.
That's so bizarre.
Now, as I said, my profile picture, they had a big electric billboard of it.
I saw that. Wow.
So Tom took the picture of that. So that's why I have that.
Yeah.
So that was very nice. Also, when you're walking down to the hall of the showroom, they have all these posters. Our poster was there.
That's so cool.
And right next to that was a poster that said, scratch this.
Sniff that.
Yes.
Wow. Scratch this.
I saw
that, but I forgot about it until just now. Scratch
That's how you know you've made it big, where you're in the mustard yellow wall next to a poster that says, scratch this.
Well, you know what? No, I've seen... much worse things posted up for shows at CBGB, so...
Usually I'm posted underneath the crab special, but, you know...
Actually, because we have the CBGB's shower curtain in one of our bathrooms, I've seen much worse things when I'm just trying to pee.
We've all seen worse things when you're trying to pee.
Yes, that's true.
The cats talk.
Yeah. Oh, damn them.
Yes. So I thought that was interesting. So the guy running the club shows us this limo. It's like, oh, you guys got to see this limo. Like, oh, wow. Which the contest winners get to go in. Not the comics.
Oh, you're like, oh, special trip. No, certainly not.
So the contest winners get that. We're only 5 miles away. Whatever.
What contest? What kind of contest?
Like, well, I guess like ticket winners for
oh,
show.
Oh, I see.
So they do it every, you know, whenever they do a show and they have the ticket winners. Okay. That's
oh,
fine.
Okay.
So the show starts.
Yeah.
Tom Myers is on stage. I'm just kind of milling about. I start to message Trucker Tom. I don't know if Trucker Tom's listening tonight.
You know, he hasn't spoken up, but I don't know if he's in the room.
Well, anyway, I start messaging Trucker Tom because I remember I've added a couple shows in Michigan.
Oh.
So it's always nice to meet up with Tom.
Yeah.
When I see him, when I'm in the area. So he asks, he's like, how's the tour going? Anything you're going to bring back to the show? I go, you know what? It's been pretty quiet. You know, I'm sure I'll have some stuff because, you know, the minor annoyances I can blow up.
Yes.
But, you know, it's been pretty quiet.
Hmm.
But, you know, I'll come up with something. It'll be good. At that moment, I hear, you need to shut the hell up. I'm being serious now. It is Tom Myers going off on the audience.
No.
I message Trucker Tom, go, well, I think we might have a story for the show.
It turns that quickly. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's quiet. Shut up. Oh, here we go. And they're up. Oh, my God. What's going on out there?
The staff now looks at me. I look at
like,
them.
Get your boy under control. He's
no,
not yours.
No, but it's like. Well, this shit ain't going to be easy tonight. Like, you know,
thanks.
What am I going to do? I mean, you know, it's just like, well, somebody's going to solve this.
No, when they look to you.
Apparently, they were being chatty. Apparently, it was some of the limo winners being chatty. I don't know what it was, because at that point, you know, Tom was doing fine from what I'd seen. I was in and out. He was doing fine. Apparently, something went tits up. And he starts chastising, which is an approach I never do. You've seen me handle hecklers.
Yeah.
You've never heard me say, I'm being serious now. Shut the fuck up. People came to see me. See us. He said, see us, not you. Which is the right message. It's just not the way I've ever delivered it.
Yeah, really. It's like, don't say you're going to send him to the principal's office because it's going to go bad.
But Tom Myers informs me that is his approach to things.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Yeah, thanks, because you're not the one who has to come later and dig the show out.
So I'm just like, oh, this is going to be a kick in the crotch. So I'm back and forth, and then all of a sudden, a guy stands up, goes, that's it. Fuck this. I'm out of here.
No way!
Yes. Makes a big spectacle
of leaving.
And his girl trails off behind.
Oh my God, epic flounce.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm just like, oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, great.
This is not going well at all. Now, fortunately, the audience was pretty much on Tom's side because I guess this guy's known as an asshole.
Mm.
Like, and now the club tells me afterwards that, this guy has caused problems before.
Oh, great.
Yet they let him win the limo tickets, and he gets in easier than my Pepsi.
Yeah, really? Yes. So, it's like, which was the real problem here?
So they were actually not really upset with Tom for this, which I was happy about,
which
I'm glad. But still, an interesting vibe has been created.
Yeah, I'd say.
You've seen me in enough situations. You know I can handle interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the guy people want on stage when shit gets interesting.
Yes.
So I'm doing my thing, doing a lot of crowd work. I'm pretty much doing all crowd work at this point. Just like goofing on the show.
That's good.
A couple times I go, fuck this, I'm out of here. Like prancing across
the stage. Did everybody laugh?
Yeah, they loved it. Have them in the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing my Amistad Reverend Al Sharpton bit. Why are you laughing?
No, I know it.
Yes. And I say, you know, the white people are afraid of, you know, Al Sharp, you know, so there's a black person here and they're going to, and they won't be able to gamble because Al Sharpton's going to protest from the back of the room. I'm black. I'm a black person. A black woman is now going off,
going off,
just fucking just, yeah, blah, 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 blah. She won't shut up. She's going at me. Finally, I say, yeah, I get it. You're black, but this is in a movie theater, so I don't understand why you're still talking.
Oh, oh my God. That's great. It's not a movie theater.
Completely racist, by the way.
It's a stereotype, but I embrace it.
Yes. But she has entered into my world now.
Oh, funny.
So I know Joe has an opinion on this, I'm sure, especially what with went on earlier this weekend with Trump and Joe and I going back and forth.
Oh, he is driving off the road right now.
Exactly.
He's like, I can't get the fist.
I'm sure Joe has an opinion, or he hasn't heard that part because he's actually walking. But I'm sure.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
But it's the right answer.
It was the the right answer. What does she do?
And she keeps on going. So I want my money back. The cover was five. I go, good. Go. Get your money back. Leave. Get it from the slot machine.
Yeah.
So she keeps on going on. I go, I don't understand why she thinks I'm giving her reparations.
Oh! Oh! No! Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Now, is the audience with you?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Because I'm good at this shit. I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but I know how to read an audience.
Right.
And I know how to handle shit, and she started it.
She started it.
No, I wasn't drawing attention to her. I knew there was another black person at that table, too, but it's just this one flailing about like an asshole drawing attention to herself. So I handle my shit.
Yeah. That was funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm in the zone.
Yes.
So I'm just doing crowd work after crowd work. So I'm doing my thing about 20, 25 minutes in. The guy who runs the place, who brings in the comics, he's not the agency, but the guy who brings in the comics, his name is Tony.
Okay.
So about 20, 25 minutes in, I see Tony start kind of walking towards the stage.
All right.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not like a time's up thing. Usually they give you another signal or you time yourself.
There's Joe. We'll have to recap this for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows.
So I'm waving him off.
Okay.
Because I think he's trying to, finally now he's going to sheriff the room.
I know. It's like, now I got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
I'm waving him off like I don't need that. I'm going to give Joe a chance to settle in because we haven't gone too far with that. So if Joe hasn't heard it, I will repeat it. Quickly and let Joe, because I know Joe's going to have a fucking opinion on this.
No, I haven't heard. I missed about maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Oh, this was the crucial part. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey,
good,
Joe.
How are you?
Hey, sweetie, hey.
Okay, so we were talking about my show. Very interesting show, the type of show you would like. And, Joe cast aspersions on me about being banned from rooms, put this on Facebook for things I said. I go, I've never been banned for something I said, but then this happened, and I haven't been banned, but I know you'll have an opinion.
But
Joe's rubbing his little hands
Joe's
together.
I just want to preface this with, I believe he has, but if you look more into it, it's not of his doing, but sometimes you get labeled something.
Oh, yeah, no, because people
and
seem
that's
to
what
be
I
irrational.
Would,
well, no,
oh, right.
I've never been banned for shit I said on stage. No. I've been banned. We bring that to the table.
Yes, we know.
Yeah, I get banned for absurd shit.
Baggity bang, boomity
boom. Exactly. Joe's witnessed some of it.
But that's even the perfect example.
Right,
we got,
yep.
All right. Let's not get it.
So anyway, so I'm doing...
Where are you? What room again?
Sunray Casino in New Mexico.
Okay, this is where you can't bring a soda from.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's where. That's where I left.
Well, you missed. Shit went tits up for the other guy beforehand. It got wild and everything. Funny.
But, okay.
But this room is kind of unhinged. You've seen me enter the stage when the room is already unhinged. We've done enough of those shows together. So this is the environment. So I'm all into crowd work and doing everything. So then I try to work in the Sharpton. The Kim Kardashian Amistad Sharpton bit.
Right.
Where I go, oh, look, the white people are afraid Sharpton's going to show up. There'll be a protest, this, that, the other thing. They're afraid of the black people. Then there's this black woman in the back go, I'm black. Oh, and she just keeps on fucking talking. I wasn't drawing attention.
This ain't the movies, lady.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I go, I don't understand why you keep on talking. This ain't the movies. We think alike.
That's hilarious.
See, he's a prick like me.
That's why we've been friends and partners.
I know.
15, 16
well, wait
years.
Wait a minute, I'm a prick too. I laughed when you said it.
That's
why we've been partners in crime for all these years.
Yeah, but I'll say it on stage.
Funny.
That is funny that you got that.
Yeah.
So then she keeps on going on. I'm going to get my money back. And it was a $5 cover.
Your money back.
So I go, leave.
Here's a sanker and a sweet roll. We'll call it a day.
I go get your money from the slot machine. I don't care.
Yeah.
And she keeps on going on. I go, I don't understand why she thinks I'm giving her reparations.
Give you that one too.
So that is where I figured you would have a comment, considering how we've been going back and forth.
That was so great.
I don't want to get into it, but you could be labeled a racist.
I could, but as I said to Pip,
but unfairly in context of the situation.
But as I said to Pip, I did not draw attention to her. She drew attention to herself.
Oh, yeah.
I was not saying, as one of our great leaders once said, look at my black people over here. Or look at my African Americans here. I wasn't drawing attention to her. She came into my world.
Right. So, but, as he said just before, she started it.
Yeah. All right, so now I'll move forward to.
I'm sorry, I love to be at the podium. Oh, you were trying to get the check. She started. I think I've been there. But
so yeah, so the audience is loving it.
Right.
Her table, I think, likes it. I don't know if they like it. She's not pleased. I don't care. So about 20-25 minutes in, the guy who's running, Tony, starts making his way to the stage. And I'm thinking, why is he making his way to the stage? I've kind of got this under control. I mean, this can go tits up at any time, but I have these people in the palm of my hand.
And how much time are you supposed to do?
Supposed to be to do like 45. I did an hour, probably. Yeah. I maybe did 5 minutes of material.
But I'm saying you're like 25 minutes in?
Yeah, about halfway in.
And now he's walking up. It's like, what the hell?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Why is this guy doing this?
Yeah.
And I'm waving him off. Like, I don't need help. You know how sometimes, you know, the bouncers are coming. Like, you need help.
Yeah,
quiet
down. Yeah.
I'm like, no, I got this. And it keeps on coming. And I don't understand why. And it's never good when they come. Well. And he goes, batteries. Keys. I go, keys. Keys. I go, what are you talking about, keys?
You want the keys to my car? What are you talking about?
Tom needs the keys to the car. Tom's the
the
feature.
In the middle of your set.
And I had just said something nice about Tom. Oh, no, he's trying to grab the microphone, like, to announce to everybody. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
When he tries to grab the microphone, then he goes, well, Tom needs the keys for his merch bag. And I go, what? I had just said something nice about Tom earlier. And
you got along with him, right?
I like Tom. Yeah, Tom's fine. I still get along with him. I like him a lot.
Wait, one second. Are you picturing Pete Townsend handling this moment where he's trying to take the mic away from him? Pete Townsend.
From the man that said, if you were on stage with The Who and came near me, I would probably kill you?
Yes. Yes.
Unquote.
Yes.
That Pete Townsend?
That guy. Yeah. he kicked some cop in the balls or something once when he tried to, like, take the mic away from him.
Yeah.
I proceed to lash into Tom Myers like a pit bull and a cat sent a chew toy. And you know what I'm capable of because you've received that on occasion. Mm-hmm. Although nothing like that.
I have been witness to this.
Yes. I'm like, how dare you? I just said something nice and you're going to fucking send him up there?
That's crazy.
And like, Tom's like, but I did. And then I go, the keys are in the suitcase. I go, this had to be done now?
This is to your merch bag?
Yeah, because he wants to get his merch. He can't find his merch. I drove.
Oh, I
but this is not the time nor the place.
I know you're in the middle of your set. This is crazy.
I go, if you wanted my attention, what you do is you got to give me a glass of water with a note. And then I go, God damn it, why do I got to run shit here too? And that's what I'm thinking of Joe. And then I go, I'm going to move to this town. Do you people want me to be mayor? And they go, yes. I go, fine, I'll run this town too.
Lisa says he's bringing you a buffet voucher. It's like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
So that doesn't usually happen to people.
No. No, not in the middle of the show.
No comment show? Have you seen that one before?
This is reminding me of the things that you do locally where all of a sudden they're like, okay, now in the middle of your show, we got to have a raffle. It's like, are you...
That, you know what? I used to tell people, oh, okay. I tell people, like, when they want to do it, we're going to stop in the middle of a raffle and do it. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's going to ruin the show. There was one time I think I was working with Jimmy Graham. And they were going to do the raffle. They would like to do the raffle. So we're like, no, not real. You know, it's better not to do it. So I'm opening up for Jimmy. And then I go, lazy. And the woman's coming up to do the raffle. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Graham. Like, Jimmy, fucking run. Let's go. And Jimmy saw her. Just hauled ass. Yeah. And the woman goes, we'd really want to do the raffle. I go, you kill it. I go, you know what? Let me tell you something. Nobody's here to see us. You know, it's like when the kids open up their presents on Christmas. Right? Beat it, fatso. You know, they don't give a shit anymore.
So after I come off stage... I'm like, Tom, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
You interrupt my show after I just said, he goes, no. He goes, I asked Tony, and Tony's been doing comedy for at least 15 years, running around. Yeah. I asked Tony that when Davin's done, can you go up and stall a few minutes? Because I want to get the keys from him if he has them, because I want to get the merch bag.
Yeah.
After I'm done.
Right.
But Tony did not understand this, according to Tom.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is so disastrous.
Just more of the chaos that I'm handling.
It's kind of crazy. This is kind of stuff that frustrates Mr. Helix at the radio station, because he will be in the middle of a show, and because of the way the station is set up, it's kind of insane, because the broadcast booth, there's nothing separating it from the rest of the room. It's just you walk into the room, and whoever walks into the room is on the air, and people come in there, like, voices booming, talking about bullshit, cursing a blue streak, and he's got them the mic is open, and he's like, he looks at them like, are you insane? And this happens all the time.
Epilogue, I'm having dinner in the restaurant, and the women that were with that African-American woman are sitting there. Like,
really?
As we're getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to leave. They wave me over. Not the woman who got all upset.
Right. But the ones sitting with her.
So how's this going to go?
Are they her friends? Or
yes, they were sitting with her. They're her friends. She's like, I just want you to know, we thought you were hysterical. We loved it. I go, yeah, I don't think your friend enjoyed it. They go, don't worry about her. I go, I wasn't.
Don't worry about her.
But
that's nice.
Yes,
though.
It is nice. It is nice.
That they were like,
yeah.
Look, she was the only one that had a problem. Right.
Fourth show.
Uh-oh.
Every show has a situation.
Oh, God.
We're in the backyard. That's the right look. Pip looks quizzical.
Yeah.
Joe looks quizzical.
Where's this gig?
This is in Colorado.
Okay.
This is in Montrose, Colorado. We're in the backyard of a bed and breakfast next to a funeral home / crematorium.
That ain't no barbecue.
And it's called Crippin' Funeral Home.
No.
Yeah, we be crippin'. You see the hearse got spinners on it.
No, I was thinking like Tales from the Crippin' Funeral Home.
But the blood funeral home is down the other side of the street.
Birds are chirping.
Those are vultures.
Shut up, you.
Oh, I'm sorry, bed and breakfast. See, all the beds have lids. They got a deal next door.
Now you're funny.
That's funny. There's handles on the sides.
Yeah. This is a nice bureau. This ain't a bureau. That's your bed. I don't know. We got a deal next door. They had a truck.
Nice pearl inlay.
Tom Meyer stayed in the room where Quentin Tarantino stayed, I guess.
Was there blood spatter all over
the
place?
I don't know.
One would expect.
I don't know. In front of me, I'm performing on a back porch. That is my stage.
Yeah.
And there are flowers in front of me. That is my thing.
Oh, my God.
The show went well.
How many people were there?
They usually have like 100, I'm told. They had 30.
Oh,
but I guess like the last comic was good.
But you know, they always tell you, they go, you should have been here last week. Yeah. So I always wanted to back my book up a week so I get all the prime shit.
And you know what? There are probably people drinking out of mason jars and stuff, right? I'm getting the vibe of this
place. No.
Okay.
No, it was fine. So we don't know if we're getting breakfast or not. I mean, it's a bed and breakfast.
Well, it's just a bed.
Exactly. It's a bed and breakfast.
It's just a bay.
I've stayed at bed and breakfast when I've done comedy before, never performed at a bed and breakfast, but where they've given breakfast.
Right.
But it hasn't really been explained to Tom and myself.
Okay.
I think you come down in the morning and there's food.
Well, Tom goes...
Not the idea.
Here's what I love about Tom. Tom's like, I want to get an answer to this.
Yeah.
Which I like about Tom. So he goes, I'm going to tell her. And this is what he says to her. He goes, listen, we're going to get out early. We got to leave, you know, around 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, and she's like, and there's a little pause, awkward. And she's like, okay, well, you know, I'll be up. Other people will be eating. Other guests will be eating.
Other people will be eating.
We shan't be getting breakfast, Joe.
Well, you couldn't even put a bowl of crunchies out on the porch for us like a feral cat.
Nothing.
You know? Thank you,
they
Lisa.
Offered coffee, but I had Rocky Mountain to deal with.
But it's a cheapskates. They don't offer you breakfast. And that's in their name.
Yes.
I know.
Bed and breakfast.
But I was...
bed and get the fuck out.
Lisa calls it caskets and coffee.
I like that.
I
caskets
do too. And coffee.
That's very
I
good.
Stay there.
That's very good. I did like the awkwardness, though, of Tom asking and that moment of silence. I enjoyed that very much.
Like, what are you looking for?
I would have enjoyed breakfast more, but
they couldn't throw you a bowl of Wheaties? I mean, for Christ's sake.
No. Tom got a cup of coffee.
You know what? It's always like Adam Ferrara, God rest his Adam Ferrara's father used to say, you go, you got to help. Because when the first time he was at the Trop, it's like, what room is he staying in? They don't put the help up at the hotel. He stayed at a flop house down on 4th. And I never forgot that because you're just the help.
Yep.
And, you know, when you get in situations like that, you know, when you get a half a slice of lettuce and he call it a salad, you're the fucking help. You know?
Yeah.
So this is the fifth and final show. Then we will take our first break. So the feature hooked up with some local comics, and they were going to arrange a show which we would be a part of. Mm-hmm. The budget
was on the schedule?
We added it.
Oh, okay.
Because it was cheaper to fly out of
Where was
month,
this gig?
Las Lunas, New Mexico, okay. A place called the Wild Pony, mm-hmm. about 20, 25 minutes outside of Albuquerque, which I'm flying out of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The budget was supposed to be $100. Which would be split.
For split was supposed to be, when you hear, all right, that's what he just said. The budget's supposed to be $100. All right, I could deal with that, which is going to be split. I can't deal
with
that.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Five ways.
This was the Sunday?
This was the Sunday. It was supposed to be. And a comic dropped out, and for some fucking reason, they added another comic.
No.
And
why wouldn't anybody want another $10?
And I'm like, and me and Tom are like,
took
why?
$10 off the budget.
Well, it's like Tom has closed this girl's Thursday room already, and they know I'm closing the tour.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need more.
Like, you needed more time?
I don't know.
Going all day?
Sometimes when you go on the road and you meet comics from the other part of other parts of the country, you look at them and go, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And him and I have been together, and so like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you people thinking?
So $100 split five ways.
Lisa's dying.
Even shut Gonzo up. Pays better.
Yeah! It's like it just started.
Yeah.
It took you 14 years to earn $20 of me, but you made it.
And you only flew 2,000 miles. Actually, I'm sorry, 2,500 miles to get it.
I don't think he's worth it at all.
I don't know why I put that effort on that.
And passing the hat.
Oh, no. Oh.
Passing the hat.
No.
And dinner.
Well,
wait. I'm in town.
Wait, what's dinner?
Patience, young Pippi. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what I've resigned myself to. But you know what? $20 is $20. Dinner's dinner.
Said.
I'm in town. Whatever.
What the fuck?
Right.
All right, all
right. So we're at a place called The Wild Pony, as I said. It's a big country bar, which you know is indicative for comedy. Mm. Turns out they're normally closed on Sunday, which is the night we're doing the show.
Oh, good.
A big windstorm hit earlier in the week, destroying the club sign and the sign that had comedy on it.
The Haboob.
Comedy blew away, so they had to replace it with music because those letters are gone.
What in the hell's going on here? I didn't see no little GU. I want to see music.
Well, no, because it's Sunday. Nobody's normally there.
Oh. Why's people in here?
And
I'm supposed to clean up.
And a flash flood watch has just been issued for the area.
So things have gotten better. Maybe your prayers will be answered, and this all will be washed away.
Well, I got to get out of town the next morning, which I'll talk about in the second segment. So I don't want that.
More planes underwater, I guess.
I know.
So here's what it really turns out to be. There is no budget. The kitchen burned down 18 years ago.
What?
There is no dinner.
What? What?
But you want to know something?
The kitchen burned down 18 years ago. This just in.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Things sucked so much that when it all went to shit, it's like, maybe it's you feel better.
Well, he's saying to himself, I definitely have something to bring home.
Yes, well, yes. Because I live for
the
this
only,
show.
The only problem is if it was a Sunday and you drove and you had to go down to Paramus and this was going on, you'd
yeah.
be like, shit, you're in Albuquerque.
I'm outside of Albuquerque.
No, I'm sorry. You're not even. You're outside of
Albuquerque. In the place where they're not usually open.
Where the sign blew away that said comedy because there might be a flood.
The janitor is the built-in audience.
You start gathering animals.
Bringing them in.
We have 7 people in the audience, all of which are the friends of the girl who put the show together.
Oh, boy.
The person who was supposed to bring the mic and cord flaked out at 6:30. This was a 7 o'clock show.
Right, now, this still is like the show that's in Paramus.
Yes.
But still, we're in Albuquerque. We're far away from home.
Yes. So you're going to have to yell.
Yeah. So the girl who put the show together, Ariana, God bless her, she somehow found a store that would have a microphone and a cord.
Wow. Really?
And hooked it in, but we were tethered to the soundboard. There was a huge stage, but we shan't be using it all, Joe.
Might as well just sit on the soundboard.
Essentially, yes.
But what's sadder, having that the situation or being through the ringer so much, it's like, I could figure this out.
That's what I was.
And the thing about it is, I don't know what's worse.
Yeah. Well, Lisa says you're using the burnt kitchen wood to build an ark at this point. Yeah.
You know, at this point, I'm like, well, this is Sunday.
How much time do you have to do?
Well, originally, everybody was supposed to do 20. But I asked the girl, I go, what do you, because they decide that I'm going to close. I didn't ask. I just said, what number, when do you want me going on?
Right.
But I guess I'm the one that's going to close, even though I'm getting paid the same. And she's like, and the girl who was helping, but not really helping the girl put it on, who put together the Thursday and who drove us, her name Dawn, lovely girl also. She goes, well, you should do at least, you know, 30, you know, to give these people a show. I'm like, huh, well, we'll see about that.
Hold it.
Did
how many
charge
comics?
These people?
Five.
Five people. Did they pay?
As it turns out, no.
No, I'm doing fucking 10.
Yeah.
I'm doing fucking
and
10.
You're lucky.
I'm sorry.
But, yo, it's a Sunday in Albuquerque. Where am I going? She's my ride.
but wait. Did they charge these people to come in?
No, they were supposed to be a $3 cover, I believe.
No, you know, and how many comics are in the show?
Five.
All right, you know what the old saying is? All right, there's five people here. We're all doing 10. Okay, the two guys, the two senior guys, you're going to do 15. The rest of us are doing 10.
Right.
We're getting the fuck out
of here. Yeah, that's veterans doing it. She's never done comedy there before. She's trying to build it. So,
And all you need is more people in the kitchen.
So the girl who put this together is hosting.
And a sturdy sign.
One of the audience members before I went on did buy me a Hennessy margarita, which was delicious.
Really?
I never had a Hennessy margarita before.
Sure, it took all the edge off that shit.
No, it didn't affect me at all, but it was really good. So the host who put this together is hosting, and she never asked me for my intro. And here is where Joe shall make another appearance in my head.
Oh, no. it can't be worse than the intro that I had the kid do for you in...
We're
in Michigan.
Talking about hacks.
You know that story, right?
Yeah,
no.
I'll tell it really quick. There's a kid, and I'm goofing at the table, and he goes, all right, Joe, I get you. How do I want you to bring you up, Davin? I go, tell him he's a hack.
Yeah, that's right.
And the kid goes, okay, your headliner, he's a hack. And so I spit my beer over all over everything. And he yells at me, goes, what did you tell him to say? I didn't think he was going to say it, you idiot. I was just kidding.
I hope you learned your lesson.
I don't think so. I think somebody in Albuquerque didn't.
So she does a bit, before I go up, she does a bit about dollar stores. And then said, speaking of things worth a dollar, here's your final act.
Oh, no, she didn't.
And I could just picture Joe in the back of the room clapping and roaring and dancing and having a gay old time at that.
And getting his beer all over everything.
And when you come up to me after your set and say, tell me to shut my face, then I would go, well, do the math. You are actually in the budget worth a dollar. She wasn't.
True.
And then you got a fucking point. All right, let's have another margarita.
I know. Get out of here.
Well, you can imagine how I lashed into her with nothing to lose. You guys think I'm bad to you guys. I gotta
her,
see you fuckers.
The
again.
Other comics, the room, the city of Albuquerque,
Las Lunas,
the Sandia Mountains, whatever. Sandia Mountains, the whole fucking ball of wax.
Oh yeah,
I lashed into her quite ferociously.
I'm sure,
as I thought was deserved. So then there's this guy, he's an intimidating looking guy, and he's going to be the hard ass. It's like, we got seven people, we need a hard ass.
Yeah.
So I mess with him. Of course.
I know.
Meanwhile, in the ER.
Yeah. So I tell her, I go, since you pay nothing for the show, you're getting your money's worth.
That's true.
He said, oh, I bought two drinks. I said, still, you're getting your money's worth. I eventually do win him over. And I'm talking to him, and he says he needs another drink. So I tell the owner, he's the only waiter there. The owner's the only one there. Open up for us. I ask him what he's drinking. And the guy says a Coke. I go, are you shitting me? You give me a bunch of horseshit, and your two drinks were Cokes? $2 sodas? How dare you?
Really?
So the guy orders the drink.
Okay.
Dave, the owner, takes the order. Some time passes.
Right.
This guy does not have. I go, did the drink ever get made?
Yeah.
And Dave's like, yeah. And it's next to him at the table where he's fucking sitting. Dave, the owner, made the soda.
Oh, okay.
But did not deliver it to the audience member.
Why not?
So once again.
John Tapper comes storming in all hot as hell. Hey, I was out in my truck.
No, no. We don't
chipping black mold off of where
and then
you
Davin,
just
I'm
ate.
Yelling at everybody here. Get your own place.
Essentially, yes. We don't need John Tapper because once again, I need to explain how this shit works.
Yeah. I know.
I go, Dave, here's the deal. When people order a drink, you bring it to them. You don't expect them to walk to the back of the room where you're sitting to get said drink.
No tip for you.
And once again, I picture Joe going, once again, Davin has to fucking explain people how to do their job.
Yeah, really.
So.
I know, but it's incredible.
It's like, why, wherever I go, are people fucking up?
Nope. It's crazy.
So, So in the audience, I wound up doing like 30 minutes or so. Again, mostly crowd work.
Yeah.
Mostly crowd work. So I'm doing my Indiana bit. I said, has anybody ever been to Indiana? And a guy named Deshaun, who bought me the drink,
right,
goes, I was in Indiana. I go, what were we doing in Indiana? He goes, I was chasing Sade.
Really?
Sade's a singer. I go, yeah. I go, well, that's what a restraining order will do. Most of us just order tickets. Why was he chasing Sade? Because he's a counterfeit T-shirt guy. Yes!
Yeah, he's not even Dominican.
No, he was black, but still. But you know my affinity for the counterfeit T-shirt.
You were buddies.
Oh, and I was wearing a counterfeit Aerosmith T-shirt from 1998.
That he probably made.
No, he did not, but I asked.
Did you ask him how many extra larges he could fit under his balls?
Yes! Essentially, yes. I pretty much said it. You can always count on a T-shirt from them smelling like ball sweat.
Did he laugh?
Yes, he was having a great time. He also
balls. You see a T-shirt warehouse.
He pulled some T-shirts out from under right then and there.
He also organizes for the past, I want to say, 30 or 40 years, the parades in Los Angeles for Martin Luther King Day.
No way.
Which is really cool. So I really like that. So I was conflicted. I'm like, wow, you're doing this great thing, and you're ripping off bands.
I'm conflicted. I like that.
But this was heaven for me.
Oh, of course.
To run into a guy, the people I idolize.
That's like a fashionista, you know, back in the day, you know, meeting Yves Saint Laurent or something like that, you know?
Right.
You had a guy.
So, you know, I did some counterfeit T-shirt material, which is essentially shit we talk about on this show.
Basically, yeah.
So, the show went very well.
I'm glad.
I sold merch, thank God.
At this?
Yeah.
Really?
Did you sell it to the T-shirt guy? Did you sell a T-shirt guy T-shirt?
Yeah, and I joked, yeah, he's going to buy it and it'll be selling for $10 out in the parking lot.
Yeah, did he ask you for the lower price?
No, I goofed on how they slash the tags. It's like made by H. There's no A-N-E-S because they cut it because it's not Hanes.
Yeah.
Gets all of his irregular shit. Yeah. I went through the whole spiel, which I've talked about on this show.
My $12 Iron Maiden shirt didn't even make it through the wash.
It's a crapshoot, Joe.
It is.
Usually one of a crap.
Yeah. So they actually sold stuff, which kind of made it worth it.
Mm.
I feel like I gave some advice to some of the people that asked, some of the comics that asked. I think I helped build the scene, because I think they're going to do it again. Long story short, got back to my room. I got to get up at 3:15 in the morning.
Ugh.
Got back to my room around 11:30. Took a shower, and for dinner I had a strawberry Pop-Tart.
Oh, man.
That was dinner.
Oh, man.
Because the kitchen burned down.
Yeah, it did.
So that was the tour. I'm going to do a little bit more on the next segment.
Okay.
When we do Talk Radio Network. But that was a lot of the nuts and bolts.
It's incredible. I do want to, I don't know how I would do it.
That's
but
a
I
road.
Do, I would love to sometime go on the road with you guys and just see what goes on.
You could come with me.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'd like to go back to, you know, to Michigan and all three of us go and hook up with Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got a couple days in Michigan. I haven't booked a feature yet. I can talk about it with you guys later on. Mm. We can do that.
When is that?
September. So we could talk about that later on. It would certainly be interesting and stressful.
But that was
a lot of the tour. As you can see, when I go places, weird shit happens, and I have to fix things that are not my problem.
I see that.
So
funny.
We'll come back. We're going to do our interview. I'm going to tell you about the Rocky Mountains and my experience trying to leave Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting stuff there. We're going to talk to Joyce Razor from the National Military Family Association. Joe, we added a story on Ellen DeGeneres. She's getting sued. We'll do some, should Disney have gay characters? And we'll do some other stuff. So don't go anywhere. You're
on RogueRadio.com, TuneIn.com, HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on RainRockRadio.com and TalkSuperStation.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com, iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.